And when it opened, then you got in on a plane.
Yes, after the air was admitted and after I had been invited to make this test out there.
Mr. Fry, when you ask us to accept the story that you not only saw a flying saucer, but you communicated with some extraterrestrial people, that they flew you to New York and back, and I think from what I read of your book, they have visited you again. You would admit that this is a rather incredible story and that it sort of tests our powers of belief in you.
Well, I have never asked anyone to accept it. I have presented the report for what it was worth. It is of no concern whatever to me, actually, whether anyone accepts it or not, provided they do a little thinking on the subject. We are about to go into space ourselves. The coming generation is going to travel very widely in space. It is not too early. In fact, it's pretty late already for them to begin to consider the things which they may meet there when they do. The important thing is that we break down some of the thought blocks which have been raised by people who are in position that they should know better. I mean, there have been some unfortunate thought blocks.
Pardon me for interrupting, but you say you don't ask us to believe it, and yet you published a book that you want people to buy, I assume. You give lectures that you ask people to pay money to attend. I've even been told by some of your former associates that at your ranch in Oregon that you sell real estate for people who might want to build there or to be there when and if the spacecraft and space people return. Now, what I'm wondering is, I'd like to find out a little something about yourself. Your book says that you are a PhD, that you have this PhD from the St. Andrews College of London.
University.
Book says
yes,
St. Andrews College.
I didn't write the advertising on the book.
No, it's in the book itself.
I was not even shown the advertising.
Well, do you have a PhD?
Yes.
Where did you get it?
It was from St. Andrews, but it was a university, not a college.
And
college,
where is that located?
It is on Tottenham Road in London, England.
I'm sorry, but I checked with the Library of Congress, and they say there is no university of no St. Andrews University in London. There is one in Scotland.
Yes,
now, could you have mistaken Scotland
for
London?
No, I could not have mistaken Scotland. Or
well,
I'll tell you what I did,
Mr. Fry. I put in a call to the college or university of St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
In London.
Yes.
And the operator, I said, well, this man has a PhD or says he has from there. There must be a college. And so they gave me the chief information operator in London. She said, I'm terribly sorry. If there is such a college here, they do not have a telephone. Now, could it be that this college has an unlisted phone?
I don't know about their phones. I'll be glad to send you a certified photostatic copy of the degree, if you choose. I mean, this is something that's come up 50 times before. I mean, this is not a new thing. It may be new here.
Could this be what's sometimes called a diploma mill, where you buy a diploma?
No, it is not the diploma mill. This organization was chartered by the Crown in 1890. It has
there is no reference to it in the directories. There is no reference to it in the...
It does exist. It has the power to give degrees. I have a degree from it. I cannot argue about the merits of
all
the
right.
institution.
Well,
you'll have to take that up with the institution.
Let's consider something else. The book says that Dr. Dan Fry is recognized as the best informed man in the world on the subject of space and space travel. Now, I presume then that you're a member of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, to which all of the space engineers are members. Are you a member of that?
I am not a member at the present time.
I see. The book also says that Dr. Daniel Fry is an internationally known scientist, researcher, and electronics engineer. Now, are you a member of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers?
I have attended many of their conventions. I have never joined the...
You know, there are 200,000 members.
Yes.
I think probably even the members of the studio engineers are probably members. But you're not a member. The book on page 15 says, during the many years I've been employed in the field of aircraft and spacecraft design, I have helped to develop many guided missiles. Could you tell us what some of those missiles were?
The reference there is a reference to control instruments on the Atlas missile, of which Crescent Engineering furnished 9, and of which I personally designed 3.
So many guided missiles means only one guided missile. And
no,
in fact,
we sold instruments for many, or practically every missile that's ever left the ground. The President has furnished one or more instruments for.
Well, now the book says that as a scientist, and here I'm quoting, researcher and electronics engineer, who helped, speaking of you, who helped us to develop the guidance missile system for our rockets and astronauts. Now, what company did develop the guidance system for the Atlas?
There have been at least 200 companies that
who
developed
guidance
systems.
Who was the prime contractor for the Atlas
guidance system? The prime contractor for the Atlas was Convair Astronautics, who purchased our instruments directly from Crescent Engineering and Research.
Well, I have here a page from the Air Force magazine, which is the unofficial spokesman for the Air Force, and they say that the radio guidance system for the Atlas on the D models was built by General Electric and Burroughs, and that on the later E and F models, it was built by American Bosch Arma. Now, I'm surprised
You are referring to the radio guidance, which is a very small portion of the total guidance system of the Atlas missile, unfortunately.
Well, the Air Force seems to think otherwise because in their official listing, they disagree with you. Now, so it's you against the Air Force then as to who developed the guidance system. Let me put it this way. Would you be willing to have us believe or disbelieve your whole story on the basis of whether you are right that General Dynamics developed the Atlas guidance or whether it was General Electric, Burroughs, and Arma?
No, you can't change the truth into untruth because of a collateral statement. As I say, and I have said before, I'm not particularly concerned whether anyone accepts the story with or without such type of confirmation. This is not
well,
but
you're asking us to believe your background, aren't you?
The background I can demonstrate. I mean that it's possible to launch a collateral attack against anyone under any circumstances. I've heard it done many times. It has been attempted with me on many occasions in the past 10 years. For a time, I carried documentary evidence of every one of these items with me because when these wolf attacks came, I had to have the specific document to refute the statement. That phase seemed to end about 3 years ago, and so I haven't been carrying these things along lately, so I don't have all of them. I do have perhaps a few documents here. I can't answer some of these questions.
Well, let's consider.
I used to carry all of it.
Let's consider some other aspects of this. I talked to some of your former associates and employers at both Crescent Engineering and Aerojet General. Are you a graduate engineer? Any with formal training, a formal bachelor's degree?
Probably not in the sense that you would recognize. I did develop these instruments. In fact, I built the only instruments that Crescent Engineering ever made any money on. Edmund B. Sawyer and Daniel W. Fry started Crescent Engineering. We built Crescent Engineering for about the first 2 years that we developed instruments. We were the only people in Crescent Engineering. When we began to sell these instruments to Convair, we built a fair-sized plant which still produces a little over $1 million worth of such instruments every year.
How do you say we, Mr. Fry?
Edmund B. Sawyer and myself.
And at the time you were with it, it had what, about a dozen or two dozen employees?
At the time I left it, it had 135 employees.
It now has 85.
Yes, that's true. It's been going downhill ever since
I left.
Well, did you say you are a graduate engineer? You have a BA from someplace.
I am not a graduate engineer in the sense it would be accepted.
Well, in what sense are you a graduate engineer?
I am a graduate engineer in the sense that I have taken all of the studies that are required for a graduate engineer and many more. I have done the work of graduate engineers for many years.
Well, where did you get your BA, Mr. Fry?
I have not said that I had a BA.
Well, how can you get a PhD if you don't have a BA and an MA?
This is beyond my understanding. The PhD... which was given to me, was given specifically as a recognition of a thesis, which is what a PhD requires.
But you cannot qualify for a PhD unless you have a BA and an MA.
Yes, I've been through these arguments many times before. It is not a valid argument. It is the usual route through which such a thing is achieved.
May we approach another thing? Mm-hmm. Some of your associates told me that you had been quite interested in science fiction even before this incident is alleged to have occurred.
This is not true. I mean, I have never been any more interested in science fiction than anyone else.
I see. All right. Well,
most
what
of the
they
science
did tell me was
that existed at that time has become science fact in the interim. But
what they did tell me was that you used to brag to members of Press and Engineering when you began your career of lecturing, that you used to brag to them that you would make more money in one night of lecturing than you would make in a whole week or a whole month at Press and Engineering.
This is a complete falsehood. I would like to have the name of the individual here and now that made that statement, because it's time that my attorney put a stop to some of these false statements.
You,
I have never made such a statement to anyone.
I see.
Who is the name? What is the name of the gentleman who said that?
Well, we'll talk about
We're
that
going
later.
To share that.
In other words, there was no.
I have to share something with all of you right now.
Mr. Fry, you took issue with what I was told by one of your former employers.
Yes, that we have no employers, I don't think, there that were there at the beginning. And
well, some of these are men who have since left. Well, something else maybe you can clarify. You do have a ranch in Oregon, is that right?
I don't have a ranch in Oregon.
Oh, you have
I do
some
own
property.
I do own some property in Oregon.
Do you sell pieces of that property to people?
I have sold some pieces of it, yes.
About
I
how
have
many?
Never sold it. I've never sold pieces on the principle that this was a good place to be when a saucer lands. This is
about how many plots have you sold?
About 12.
I see. And what is your present source of income? I don't mean to be personal, but are you a practicing electronics or
missile
engineer?
I do still sell some instruments, yes. I have some papers in here, discussions in here, which relate to that. I have one patent coming out of the patent office now. I have two more ready to go in. I do have a laboratory at Merlin, Oregon, where I live, in which I do still do some development aside from the development of land there. I have never made a living nor attempted to make a living by lecturing or writing books. If I had, I would have starved to death a long time.
Does the Air Force believe your story about going up in this craft and about hearing voices? Does NASA believe this?
I have no idea. I have no idea what the Air Force or NASA believes.
Don't you care? With an incident like this, it seems to me you'd like the world to know about
that. Not particularly. I would like the world to think about something that we're getting into in space that our children are going to be responsible for.
We are thinking about it. We just heard a report from Gemini for thousands of dollars.
Good.
And I read an article the other day, an astronomer in the, this is in the Post, and the astronomer's name, Dr. Hayden, he said that for a ship to come down, it would take...
A man in Parkersburg, West Virginia, who said that he had a meeting with a spacecraft, and they said, have no fear, we come from a country, and so on. Now, the interesting thing is that when they talked to this man, they didn't say to him, by the way, do you happen to know Dan Fry? You know, when you're a visitor in a far-off land, you meet somebody. And in fact, the number of other people who say that they have ridden with in flying saucers and talked to spacemen, never do the spacemen say, do you know Dan Fry or do you know Joe Smith or John Jones that we've given a ride to? How do you account for this? Are each of them coming from a different planet, do you think?
There was a lecture given by a reasonably prominent biochemist about 2 years ago in which he put it this way. That is, he approached statistically the inevitable number of life forms in this galaxy, which according to the NASA study completed a couple of years ago, comes out at least 1 million. He pointed out that if we were visited at random by ships just on their way from point A to point B who looked in on this primitive civilization that was just beginning to develop the rudiments of intelligence, that if we were visited 10,000 times in succession, it would still be statistically improbable that any two of them would come from the same place and the same type of craft or for the same purpose. That in view of the tremendous number of probable sources, that 10,000 cases would probably not contain any duplicates.
Mr. Fry, do you charge for your lectures?
A charge is made, yes. It is usually come somewhere near paying the cost of the hall, and that is all.
Mm-hmm. And do you also show pictures that you've taken?
I do show some pictures, yes.
These movies that you were supposed to have made of the flying saucer, I couldn't find any reference in the book as to when you had made them.
These two pictures, which I am showing, were made on three widely separated places. They were made at widely separated times. They cover about 7 years.
Did you make them?
I made two of them. One of them was made by another man, although it is put in simply because there are remarkable resemblances. One was made in one of the Hawaiian Islands, one was made in Southern California, one was made in Northern Oregon.
Why don't you people ever record the voices that you hear?
While I do carry a camera, unfortunately, recording equipment is a little difficult to carry around on your shoulder through every area you go. I have carried a camera almost continuously for the last 27 years, but I find recording equipment is still a little bulky.
Well, Mr. Glass brought a little recorder in here today. It isn't much bigger than my purse.
3 pounds, yes.
Yes, I know.
Would it be good to carry something like that just in case?
The record made would not be considered any more seriously than pictures.
Then why do you show the pictures?
Because the pictures do have some interest to the people who see them, who might not have any interest in the recording itself.
I understand that your son still works back at Crescent Engineering. How long has it been since you talked to him?
It has been, perhaps a year or so.
What are his views on your...
I have no idea.
You don't know what your son thinks of your ideas on flying saucers?
Well, all right. I don't know what we've solved here, but I think...
Well, unfortunately,
we have this type of
work program seldom does, and when you get into comp, you don't get any points made at all. I would like to have, before we finish, this thing read, I'd like you to read it, sir, if you would. This is taken from the facilities report of the Crescent Engineering Research Facilities
Report. All right, I'll tell you
report.
What I'm going to have my husband do. I'm just going to have them all stay if they want to, and we'll have another session for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking with Daniel Fry and Phil Klass and Bruce Faulkner. Thank you very much for listening. Join us again tomorrow. One of my guests is going to be Bruce Faulkner about his book, Dirty Politics. All right.
This I would have no special argument with, but this is not quite the same as saying you're the world's greatest faith.
Well, I did not. I had nothing to do with saying that. I protested in the loudest terms and even threatened to throw the whole book out because the gentleman who published the book was a little over-enthusiastic. He published and put that cover on without my knowledge.
You didn't have to approve anything that went into the book or on the book.
I did approve. I was never shown that. I did check the
Well, then, anything that's in your words, that's in the book itself, you wrote, and you would stand by that.
With two exceptions, also a change was made in the statement that the rocket principle is similar to thrusting an oar out of the boat. And this I corrected on the Gallup group, and it was put in. I said throwing rocks over the stern.
All right, I won't worry about that. But you said Alan gave me, and here I'm quoting page 65, gave me a considerable amount of advanced technical and scientific data, which had proven to be completely valid, and I found it useful when applied to my work as an electronics engineer. What was some of that, for example? Have you written any technical papers?
Yeah, well, there is a book. This is how I got the PhD in the beginning. This was granted for the material in a book called Steps to the Stars, which pointed out the principle that a gravitational field is not quite linear as opposed by Newton, but actually follows a curve. Therefore reaches zero value, not at infinity, as opposed to a finite degree of distance, which, according to...
Now, a PhD's thesis is supposed to be based on original research. Now, here, Alan gave you this material, and you merely reported what he told you. Now, how could you in good conscience accept a PhD? How could you in good conscience...
I did not accept it. It was simply...
Trust
upon me.
I see.
I have never made anything of this. I don't use doctor in my own conversation.
But it's on the cover of the book. The people at Crescent Engineering told me that you did use the term doctor a great deal of the time.
I have never. It is used to me. Much of the mail comes. I did not use it at all at the time I was at Crescent Engineering, so I don't know how the people I knew.
Well, this is strange. As I say, I talked to at least...
I would like to get some specific names so I can straighten this thing out.
In the book, you said, on page 2, you said, unfortunately, factors involving the rules of military security prohibited the publication of a large amount of the specific data I received. Now, these are your words.
This isn't prohibited, it's not my words.
Well, I'm sorry, I'll show it to you.
Yes, I know it's in the book. I don't deny that it's in the book.
Did you submit that
book is issued, it's going to be some radical changes.
Now,
I can give you a copy of the original book, which I did write, without any editing.
Did you or did you not submit this material in 1950 to the military authorities at White Sands and say, is this classified or isn't it classified? Can I talk about it or can't I? Because if it was classified, if it was that vital, then the military should have had it as soon as, you know, to help us overtake the Russians.
I'm not referring to the classification of the incident itself. That was reported at great length.
Well, you were talking about why you didn't disclose this.
I did disclose it. This is the original paper on this was written, was published in 1954. It's one of the 15 printings since that time. It's been printed in 9 foreign languages.
Well, now, wait, you say no public report was made of this event at the time it occurred.
At the exact time, yes.
Partly because the U.S. Missile Proving Ground, where I worked, operated under a tight security cover.
I said no public report. I didn't say no private report.
I see. So you did report it to the officials down...
I did report it to the officials.
Did you make a written report?
No.
Oh, you didn't make a written report. You said I was convinced they should, referring to Earth people, have access to the technical and scientific data which was offered by the operator of the space capsule. Unfortunately, factors involving the rules of military security prohibited the publication of a large amount of the specific data I received. 12 years have now elapsed, and the factors which prevented the publication of a full story at that time have run their course. What are those factors? I mean, why can you publish it now, but you couldn't publish it?
There is a 10-year statute of limitations on...
Oh, this does...
Restricted material.
Oh, I don't think so.
No,
restricted material remains...
I have carried top secret classification ever since...
Indeed, so have I since I was in industry. But let me remind you, Dr. Fry, that just because 10 years elapses does not automatically declassify material. In fact, the details of Custer's last stand are still classified. So there's the 10-year limit statute of limitations does not apply to classified material.
I'll take a chance on it. I think I can defend anything.
You haven't had any complaints, then, that you revealed any vital information?
I haven't had any legal complaints, no.
Mr. Fry, finally, then, I would like to clear up a few things, because it upsets me enormously.
I'd like to have you back.
People work very hard for degrees and
achievement.
But could I then clarify and underline? You say you do not have a regular BA, you do not have a regular MA, but you do have a PhD. Is that correct?
I have said only that one was given to me. I was given a PhD. As far as the institution which gave it, it has no cricket team, it has no soccer team.
How many students
so
are there?
It's not very well known.
Students?
I don't know the present...
What is the address?
Tottenham Road in London, England.
Say again.
Tottenham Road.
T-O-T-T-E-M-H-A-M. And what is the school?
I have not corresponded with him for some years. I don't even know where the school exists, but... I'm sure that if you address something to Captain Redman, we will have
to... But they don't have a telephone.
It will be. I don't know what their telephone is.
But I told you. In fact, I will pay for the cost of a call to London. But if you'll make a call to the director of the St. Andrews College,
I
will pay for the call.
I have looked in the phone book for many phone numbers that were not listed there or not.
But I went to information. I went to information. The chief information.
What year did you get it?
That was in 1960.
In 1960, you didn't have the honorary degree before 1960.
All right, well, you can read about this. It's called The White Sands Incident by Daniel Fry. And we have also been... Told you.
I told you.
Oh, okay, so then you did know.
No, I have no objection to that. It was just a waste of time. I've been through this 100 times in cases all over.
Oh, so other people have been a little suspicious, too.
It wastes time. In some cases, yes. Some people have been interested. Some people have... being unable to attack the data itself, we thought the best thing to do is to attack the individual who reported it. But it was never successful. I mean, it usually makes the program look a little bit silly. It usually gets them some repercussions. But it is occasionally done. I mean, some people think this is a smart way to approach it. So it isn't fashionable anymore. I mean, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was very fashionable. It was done on always. Not anything was done and said at all was done in the future at that time. There has been a considerable change in public outlook on this thing. It's unfortunate some people haven't realized that.
And you have seen your son within the last year, then?
No, I haven't seen him.
How long has it been since you've seen your son?
It is probably...
within the last two years, you've seen him. He is in
California. I am in Oregon. When I am home, which is in the last couple of years, he's been small.
Why are you doing so much traveling?
He Well, in two occasions, I came west twice because my wife's mother was ill and expected to die on her two trips. Because of that, I did do some lecturing en route because I was requested.
Well, then, you have seen your son definitely within 2 years. That's your statement.
I don't know. What
within 5 years.
Yes, I have seen him within much less.
But you never discuss your book or your flying saucer interest with him.
Oh, we have discussed it, yes.
Well, then you must know either he agrees and accepts your views or he disagrees with them.
He is, I think, a true scientist, and the true scientist doesn't flatly accept or reject anything. He looks at what advantage can be obtained from it.
What is the name of your company now that you say you're doing that you have a small laboratory?
They are,
what is the name of it? Are you making, still working in transducers, AC transducers?
I am still working in both AC and DC transducers.
And who do you sell them to?
I sell them to,
Okay, this is from Dearborn Observatory, Northwestern University, Evanston, dated May 31, 1966. Dear Don. Oh, this is right here? All right. Couldn't you make a copy of the original? You have made copies.
I have now.
Yes. But so valuable a film as this, you know, I would think that you would have rushed out and had copies made, supposing your house burned down or something terrible happened to you. So you say normally you give about 20 to 25 lectures where there is paid.
Where it's paid admission. Mm-hmm. Very few of these cases is there anything left for the lecture.
Is there anything left for what?
For the lecture. I mean, usually these pay for the hall. It's an example. I lectured in Philadelphia 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm. And how many people came?
700. In the total, I paid for something over $1,000. I got exactly $60, out of which I paid a $70 hotel and food bill.
You got $60 plus your transportation?
I didn't get my transportation. I paid my own transportation.
And are your books on sale?
I had nothing from the sale. I mean, the publisher was selling. But that is, I get 20 cents per book.
Twenty cents per book.
That's 5%. It's just a normal.
5%.
5% is normal royalty on the retail price of the book. Yes, people say other people get rich writing books. They just don't know.
Thank you very much.
How many copies have you sold of it? When was this? When did this come out?
Just about 3 weeks ago, this issue. It has been out ever since 1954. It's been printed 15 times, and I've never seen any
This has been printed 15 times?
Oh, yeah. Not this issue, the original report.
And you say you never made any money on that?
I've never received any royalties.
Why is that?
Well, because they were published by companies that never had any money to pay royalties. They were published by small league company. New Age Publishing Company, which did the first job, and which requested the right to do it. I didn't go to any company. I had no idea of publishing this book for them at all. The publisher heard about the report, came to me, and asked me permission to do it. And I took 3 or 4 days deciding, and I thought, well, at least I'll never have to defend the thing. I'll never have to lecture on it again. If he puts in the book form, I can say, there's a book we didn't make of it, whatever you please.
It never occurred to you to ask for royalties.
It did occur to me as royalties. I have a hard and fast legal agreement which calls for royalties. Unfortunately, the publisher never had the money to pay it. He did make money on this book.
Was that the same publisher who published the earlier books?
No, this is a different publisher.
This one hopefully
may pay royalties on the book. The publisher of the previous edition did make money on that edition. Unfortunately, he published a lot of books on which he lost money.
When you left Crescent Engineering, which was about 1955, wasn't it?
No, it was later than that. but he orders later, and later than 1938. Because 38 is still in, I think, is still in the facilities in court.
No, I'm sorry. You left about 1960.
About 1960, yes. And looked at the grounds to verify the fact I had been there. The security officer with whom I have played golf both at Ruidoso and Cloudcroft came on the phone and asked him if he had any objection to breaking this match. And he said, no, I don't have any objection. But our security records show no evidence that anyone but any damn prize over the place. This is the guy I played golf with. But... So at least now it's admitted that I was there.
No,
we're progressing.
The Aerojet people and the Crescent people, the Aerojet people tell me you work on instrumentation. And in fact...
Yes, I was an instrument maker. My title was instrument maker, and I built
well,
instrument
and as a matter of fact, they had considerable praise for your ability as a mechanical designer and as a technician.
They do. I worked for them last year for about 3 weeks, and... They looked for me this year, except I was in Cairo when they looked for me, and I never told them when I got back.
Cairo? What were you doing in Cairo?
Oh, we were doing some investigation in the Cheops pyramid. I read a lot of stories about them that were impossible, and I wanted to find out the error. I found actually that they were true.